You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A Sacramento author is weaving together writing and oral storytelling in stories that breathe life into the Afghan-American diaspora. Jamil John Kochai has received nationwide recognition for his work, including being a National Book Award finalist for his short story collection, The Haunting of Haji Hotak. And this collection will be highlighted later this week as part of a CAP-lit series where local actors perform his writing. It'll be held this Friday at 7 p.m. at the Clara Auditorium in Midtown Sacramento. Jamil joins us now to talk about his literary journey and the inspiration behind his storytelling. Welcome.
Hey, it's so good to be here.
Thank you for taking the time. So you have strong local ties here. You're a Sac State professor, a Sac State graduate, also a UC Davis graduate. But your story doesn't begin in Sacramento. I would love to start by learning a little bit about your background and how it shapes your work.
Sure. You know, I mean, it's really foundational to my work overall, I would say. I was born in an Afghan refugee camp in Peshawar, Pakistan. Came to the States, first the Bay Area, when I was about a year and a half, so, you know, very little. But you know, we spent our first few years in the Bay Area in Hayward. We went between Hayward and Fremont. And then, but I was about 5 years old when we came up to Sacramento for the first time. And so since then, you know, I generally consider myself a Sacramentan through and through.
Through and through. Oral storytelling is just so important to you and formative for you. When did that begin for you and your family?
I mean, really from the beginning, I like to say that my education and storytelling started from when I was just a very small infant. As soon as I had the ability to listen and learn, I was very, very blessed in that I was in a household in which I was surrounded by really tremendous storytellers. My grandmother and my mother and father and aunts and uncles, they would just enthrall me with stories, with folklore, with stories from the Quran and the Hadith, and then of course also, you know, oftentimes the most tragic and incredible stories that they would tell me were from their own lives, from their experiences of the Soviet war in the 1980s, and then you know, and even before that, during the revolution and the time of when Afghanistan had its own king and then the kingdom fell, and so for that reason, you know, I've been really blessed in that I've had I've grown up with master storytellers, I would say, and I've learned a lot from them.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot about oral storytelling. It feels kind of like a lost art form in today's day of age.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's something that we're caught up now in the digital age, and then, you know, and even before that, right, is text dominated everything. And so this form of the oral story, right, it's something that I think it's overlooked these days, and it's something that I think it's such a tremendous form in and of itself. Just the way that stories are told orally is so different than the way that it can emerge in a text. The intimacy of an oral story, the ways that you can see the emotion of a storyteller's voice, and the way that they stutter, or the way that they get choked up when telling a story. It's something that can't be captured in text, I think. And so which is why I think this our series with CAP-lit is so lovely, because it's a combination now of you know, textual storytelling, oral storytelling, and then the performative arts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That performative part it definitely adds a different, I guess, texture to the work that you've already done. So obviously you have a love for oral storytelling and a deep appreciation for it. You could have gone in a lot of different directions professionally. Why did you decide to become an author?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that from a very young age, I've always been a voracious reader. So as much as I was enthralled by my parents' oral stories, I was also at the same time very taken in by novels. You know, I was a big Harry Potter fan when I was little. I devoured those books, and then you know, and after those books, I devoured anything that would be set in front of me. And so, I think just storytelling in general. You know, and then the other thing is, I just think it's something that I've always had a knack for, writing. Unfortunately, I'm not really as great as of an oral storyteller as my parents and my other family members. And so I figured out how to tell a story on the page. It takes me a very long time to figure out my stories. It's just such a different process, and it works better with my brain. And it was in college, you know, probably my first year of college, when I took my first creative writing class, that I was like, okay, I think there might be something here. I think this might be something for me to pursue.
How does oral storytelling shape your writing and inspire you on the page?
You know, I mean, it's really foundational to my approach to writing overall. I like to say that, you know, everything that I write is sort of written in the shadow of my parents' stories and this oral storytelling tradition that I come from. You know, the ways that, for example, that I think about voice and narrative, it's so much, you know, indebted to the spectacular and the vibrant and the unique voices that I heard growing up. And so when I'm figuring out a story, I always start with narrative voice first. It's very important for me to figure out the sound of a story, to figure out sentence length and rhythm and the musicality of the language of a story, even before things like character or plot.
Wow. So that's a little bit of your writing process. I mean, how do you find the right voice and fold in so many different emotions into your work?
You know, some of it, you know, it comes from different places. It's one of the things that I like to teach my students as well, is to keep an open ear for stories. And so sometimes the voice can come from something like, I don't know, it's silly places that the voices of a narrative can come from. Sometimes it can come from an article. It can come from, you know, a stand-up comedy routine. It can come from a video game. But oftentimes it does. It continues to come from the oral stories that surround me in my daily life. You go around, you talk to people, and people have such lovely stories to tell, and they have such spectacular, unique voices in which they tell them. And so it's something I keep an ear out for.
Yeah, I mean, and this also comes to life in your debut work, which was 99 Nights in Logar. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, 99 Nights in Logar, it's an adventure novel. It's a coming of age novel. It's a picaresque. It's something that started off with, as with much of my writing, with the kernel of a true memory. You know, in 2005, I visited Logar, Afghanistan, when I was 12 years old. Went on a bunch of, you know, adventures with my cousins at that time. Experienced kind of the surrealism or the surreality of war for the first time, seeing things like checkpoints and tanks and drones and all these different things. And all of that went into my debut novel, 99 Nights in Logar, which is ostensibly about a group of boys chasing their lost guard dog through a village in Logar, Afghanistan.
Yeah, a coming of age story.
That's right.
Your piece that's actually going to be featured at the Caplet event this Friday at the Clara Auditorium is The Haunting of Haji Hotak, which is a collection of short stories. That seems like a different approach than a novel that you worked on in 2019.
That's right. You know, I would say that having written the novel and the short story collection, I'm much more of a short story writer. There's something about the process and the length and the obsessiveness of writing a novel that it wasn't good for me. And the thing about the short stories is that I feel like I have a lot of I have a lot of freedom to approach each story individually in its own unique way. And so, what's also fun about the stories is that I like to jump back and forth between Sacramento and Logar, these two locations that have been very dear to me in a number of different ways. And so some of the stories are set in Sacramento, some are set in Davis, some are set in Logar, and each of them take kind of a different approach to storytelling and to, various literary tropes.
Well, it was well received, and that's an understatement. It was a finalist for the National Book Award. How do you feel about these type of awards and this type of recognition?
You know, I mean, it was really tremendous. It was incredibly surprising. I continue to be astounded and grateful for it. The nomination for the National Book Award in particular that's an award that I've been keeping track of for like years and years.
Yeah.
And it was a tremendous honor. But I, you know, I will say that ultimately, you know, in the end, as much as the awards and the recognition has all been lovely, it has been great to come back to the work for the sake of the work. And I think there is a way that, you know, sometimes getting too caught up in award recognition and that sort of thing, you know, it can get in the way of actually the writing process itself. And so, you know, for the last couple of months, I've been hunkered down in my office and just, you know, writing away. And that's been lovely, too.
I can imagine the writing process being, you know, a solitary experience and very much, and understandably so, in your own head. So I also think recognition like this, an award like this, is also, I think, that validation.
Absolutely.
That it is resonating with a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
there's can be understandably self-doubt and criticism.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those things where my stories are so unique to my own experience, to my own memories, to the way that I understood storytelling growing up in my particular household, that seeing it, as you mentioned, right, resonate with such a wide audience it's been really touching.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with local author Jamil John Kochai, who will be featured at a CAP Lit literary event this Friday at the Clara Auditorium. Okay, so which specific story will be read this Friday at CAP Lit?
It's a story called Enough. It's a story that's particularly dear to me. It very much stems in a very kind of explicit way from the way that my grandmother used to tell stories. And so it's a story about a grandmother kind of going in and out of different timelines and evoking her memories and her past and her traumas as she's continuing to deal with, the facing her own mortality in her household in West Sacramento, California. And so there's a lot of memories in this story, and it continues to be, you know, very close to my heart.
And as we mentioned, an actor is going to perform this. Do you interact with them ahead of time? Do you have any advice for them to bring your piece to life?
You know, unfortunately, we haven't interacted just yet. Would love to interact. Would love to talk about the story. I continue to, you know, I deeply, deeply admire the craft that goes into acting in general, but in particular, reading work aloud, performing work. And you know, for advice, I think the main thing is that, it's a story it's almost entirely one sentence. And so I want to apologize for that, first of all. But I think just, you know, pacing your breaths as you're reading this story can be quite helpful.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Take breaths.
That's right.
Strategic breaths while reading your work. How would you like the audience to take the story in? Would you like them to read along while it's happening? Or would you like them to sit there kind of in the tradition of oral storytelling and just take it all in?
You know, I think my preference would be for them to just kind of take it all in, be entirely present for the story. You know, it's one of those things that my professor, Doug Rice, my first creative writing professor here at Sac State, he emphasized this on our very first day in class, is that, you know, if you're going to be taking part in a class or a lecture or a film, or you need to be 100% present for the work. I would say that's the way to take it in.
And you're a professor as well. Did you know that you always wanted to teach writing to students?
As soon as I started taking classes at the university, I thought it was the greatest job in the world. To me, all my professors seemed like total rock stars. I couldn't imagine that someone would pay you to just talk about what you loved all day long. And that's, you know, that's how I continue to feel now with my own students and in my own classes. It's a tremendous blessing to be able to teach what I love.
How do you try to inspire them to think about storytelling
You know, one of the main things is I really like for my students to try to think outside of the box in regards to, you know, where a story can come from and how we can conceptualize storytelling in general, right?
You mentioned stand-up comedy.
Stand-up comedy is, you know, that can be a place to tell stories. Some of our, you know, our most legendary stand-up comedians are also really great storytellers. And, but, you know, also, you know, one of the things that resonates with students, I find, is video games in particular. And that's one place that I like to tell them that I was incredibly influenced by the video games that I grew up playing. And I tell them, you know, that is another place where you can seek out a different way to think about narrative. But video games, films, stand-up comedy, animation, these are all places where we can learn to tell a story in a different way.
Outside of the classroom, what advice do you have for someone who wants to start writing but doesn't know how to begin?
I would say look for what you love. You know, I had this tendency in the beginning of my writing career to try to write about subjects or characters that I thought were very literary, kind of with a capital L. And it wasn't until I went back to my work and I started writing about the people that I knew most intimately, the people that I loved most deeply. And I began writing about Logan, and I began writing about, you know, the neighborhoods and the places that I knew here in Sacramento, and that's really when the work took off for me, because I think a reader can, when you write something that you deeply love, that love, I think, can almost intrinsically come off the page in a way that the reader can understand.
Yeah, write what you know right from the heart. And are you currently working on something next?
I am. Yeah, I'm juggling back and forth between a novel and a collection of short stories. Really enjoying writing the short stories, having less fun with the novel as usual. But both of those books should be out in the next year or two, I'm hoping.
So why do the novel if it's it can be a frustrating process for you?
Oh, you know, sometimes one of the things that I hear from writers is that sometimes the story forces you to tell it. And so it's one of those situations where I had this story, it felt like, a shorter piece, and I love writing shorter pieces, but then it kept getting bigger and bigger on me. And now it feels like the story almost wants to be a novel. And so now it's kind of dragging me along on this ride through the mess or the chaos that is novel writing. And so I'm sort of along for the ride now.
Taking on a life of its own.
That's right.
Jamil, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
Jamil John Kochai is a local author and professor and a 2022 National Book Award finalist for his short story collection, The Haunting of Haji Hotak. Jamil will be one of the authors featured at the upcoming Cap Lit event at the Clara Auditorium. It takes place this Friday at 7 p.m. We have more information on our Insight page. Still ahead, longtime bluesman and radio DJ Mick Martin has died. We'll hear more about his legendary kindness. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.